So then how do we include in church history things like the Roman Catholic Church, which we would say has a false gospel, but then we don't include people like Latter-day Saints and Jehovah's Witnesses? Is it just because of proximity to our time, or is there something more? Is it that the Roman Catholic Church was the only thing out there, even though you can find a smattering of true what we would call true biblical belief groups within it?
The Catholic Church is tough because I think one thing we have to look at is what time frame are you looking at the Catholic Church? Are you looking at early 1500s Catholic Church? There aren't a lot of Christians. That's why there was a whole breakaway movement called the Reformation, right? Are you looking at Catholic Church in the 1100s? Well, that's different. Then we need to, and much like today, we have to kind of evaluate you based on a per individual basis, right? Like, oh, I'm a Presbyterian. Does that mean I'm a Christian? No. Did you follow Jesus Christ? That's what means if you're a Christian. What denomination you attach yourself does not mean anything. Now, I know that aren't Christian Muslims, so it does make it easier, right? You're a Latter-day Saint. Cool. I can put you out of the Christian club quite easily because you're not even claiming to be a part of a group of people that follow Christ. For the Catholics, that's a little bit tougher because they do claim to follow Christ. At one point, they were the only game in town. And I put that in air quotes if you can't see it, if you're a listener, because Ethiopia and Orthodox over here, and, so there were other games in town. But if you're in France or England or Italy, okay, the only game in town is the Roman Catholic Church. Were there Christians in the Roman Catholic Church? Yeah, look, there were. And even Martin Luther and these guys would say, look, there were legitimate, people following Christ, trying to reform the church from the inside out. And yet it wasn't working. And so we had to break away and get to a place where we took off all the shackles. Once again, you could have a Bible and a John MacArthur commentary and do it all without church history, right? And you could be a Catholic and add all this extra garbage to the faith, and maybe, the Lord can use it. Obviously, the Lord got a hold of Martin Luther while he was a monk in the Catholic Church. So it happens. At the same time, it makes it more difficult, and it makes it much, much, much harder for others to follow through, right? Jesuits were able to turn some countries Catholic, yet most of those countries are not the most Christian places in the world today. It's not the best way to spread the faith. Catholicism is certainly not. But I am not going to say every single Catholic that lived was not Christian, because that would mean that from the year 300 AD to the year 1500 AD, the church was completely missing. And that's just not accurate either.
Yeah. Then we could be Mormons. Yeah.
We have to get to a place where, even though we don't like the way the Catholics did things, and they certainly made things much more difficult, a Catholic needs to be evaluated based on what they claim to believe in and what they gave to history. The good news is I don't have to do that evaluation. Jesus Christ in heaven does. He knows which ones were his and which ones weren't. That's not on us. We have to be faithful in our day. And in the same way that we give the Catholics a hard time, I will point out that the evangelical church is divided 1 million different ways and is all over the place. And, if I say I'm an evangelical, that can mean I love going to Hillsong and megachurch, signing in on my campus 19 with a satellite video. Or that could mean I go to a Bible church and we actually meet at someone's house and we do, it could mean a bazillion different things, right? That does not mean it's the same. And that does not mean we're all following God at all. And we need to be evaluated a little bit more on a per individual basis, because some are, evangelical sometimes means great and sometimes it does not. Was that Barna survey that said something like 2/3 of evangelicals believe there's more than one way to heaven or something like that? So obviously, even in our own camp, maybe we should be a little bit careful throwing stones, because I don't know how many Catholics would actually agree with that statement.
All right. I think, too, going back to how we evaluate history and looking at it through the school way, we need to not think of history as only existing in these periods where, on October 31st, 1500, this is when the Reformation started, and nothing happened before then, nothing happened after then. It's not like, December 7th, 1941, where you're like, okay, that was a moment where World War II started. History, for the most part, the 100 Years' War wasn't 100 years, and it also wasn't just, there was a battle that occurred that kicked off the 100 Years' War. There was a scope, there was things leading up to it, there was things leading after it. And so we need to have this, not new, but I would hate to use the word nuance, because it sounds like I'm trying to foster in, but a realistic viewpoint of humans acting within history, causing things, and not everything can be put down as a date in the textbook. It's fine when you're initially studying that and you're kind of giving an overview, but we kind of have to have a greater sense of what it's like to act in history. You know, when you decide to buy a house, you're planning for it, and then you're fixing up at the moment of purchase afterwards. At what point did you buy the house? Well, I signed the dotted line, and that was when it was. But it's really when I, like, moved it in, or when I had my first kid, or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. John Calvin,
well, in history.
Sorry.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, John Calvin in the Institute says this. He says, wherever we see the word of God purely preached and heard, there a church of God exists, even if it swarms with many faults. And see, what I do is I write down my quotes. You just have to remember all quotes from the entirety of church history of what I'm going to pull from. But I think he makes
it's easy. Like J.C. Ryle says, tomorrow the cross, today, or today the cross, tomorrow the crown. I got like the really short ones, no problem.
Right. I mean, here's Mr. Reformed himself, the man who we follow, the man John Calvin, not the theology of John Calvin, right? Except for throughout the Institutes, he's calling people to embrace a further expansion of what it means to be a Christian and what it involves, and it's not just Sunday from 11 p.m. to 12:30. P.M. or 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's this thing that goes out from us because all truth is God's truth. All people are God's people made in his image. And all history is God's unfolding of his story of redemption from before the cross to the cross, and then from the point of the cross onward until he comes again.
Absolutely. And look, history is fun because history is not a perfect science. We would, you know, theology can perfectly tell you the attributes of God and all these things. Of course, human language fails to actually do that. History is fun because we get to have these perfect ideas smashed and realize in reality, humans are flawed and sinful. And yet throughout those crazy smashing and destruction of our perfect principles that theology and apologetics would give us that we would love to see perfectly applied, humanity is so much messier than, it's almost like in the Old Testament where here's the law, God hands them a perfect law. The Israelites immediately go on to fail it like 1,000 different ways, right?
Right.
Yet the Israelites were still the people of God. Like, they were still his chosen people, and he still had his people working throughout. In very much the same way, we have these great theologies, these great ideas of God. We have these perfect things. And yet, when you look at history, it's much like the Israelites, where it's just a giant mess full of things. But we don't have Elijah, and we don't have Daniel. I would never put them on the same planet as biblical, but we do have these great men and women of God who faithfully serve, who we can learn from, grow from, and see, like, hey, they believed the word of God, and then they went on to make a massive difference. And even in their flaws, even in the ways they fail, we can pick up and learn from them and grow encouraged by them. And like I said, John Calvin, great theology, right? You move into Geneva. Are you going to move to Geneva run by John Calvin? I'm not, because I don't want to end up in jail, right? So, like, I mean, great guys, great ideas. Sometimes, you know, as much as I think Geneva did a lot of great things, changed the world, I don't want to move there. I'm much happier to not move into that theocratic state, because I probably would end up in jail. I live in a current theocratic state, and I wouldn't end up in jail here. So it's just different. History, we have to go in with a little bit of a loose hand and open ideas and be willing to say, as much as I want everything to be perfect, it's just not going to happen. And that's okay, because your life is also not perfect. You're no better than those who came before you. In fact, I think in many ways, we are not worthy to tie the sandals, not only of our Lord and Savior, not only of the apostles, not only of many of those who lived in the Old Testament, but I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find that we are way in the back compared to many of the great, wonderful people who lived through church history.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be nice just enough to see the throne if I can without standing on people's shoulders.